ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Andy Finn Show. I'm Andy Finn, the Finn Man, and for the next hour, you're in Finland. Today is Monday, October 20th, and this is so much fun leading up to the election. I am having a blast because, as you know, I listen to right-wing talk radio and television so that you don't have to, but it's important to keep an eye on everybody and hear what kinds of opinions are coming out of people's mouths. And what's delightful about this is that the right is apoplectic about the impending election of Barack Obama. They shift from believing that it still can be stopped to incredulity that America might actually turn away from the policies of the Republican Party after 8 years of the Bush-Cheney jamboree to slamming Obama and painting him all kinds of different things. So we're going to talk about several things tonight. But before we get to that, today's October 20th, 2008. In addition to being the birthday of Mickey Mantle, who's left us, of course, it's the birthday of Keith Hernandez, one of my favorite baseball players. And I know he got caught up in that scandal in the middle of his career. But he redefined the position at first base, and he was a working man's baseball player. He didn't have the natural gifts of a Mickey Mantle or a Tom Seaver, and he didn't have the artificial stimulation help of a Barry Bonds. And yet, Hernandez was a clutch hitter. Anyway, it's also the day in 1993 that Attorney General Janet Reno warned the TV industry to limit the violence in their programs. That worked out real well, didn't it? I think Chuck Norris was probably on TV at the time, and he's still on TV. And it's the date that October 20th is the date that the U.S. Senate approved the Louisiana Purchase. Now, for all you history buffs out there and non-buffs, what year are we talking? The Louisiana Purchase. Do you remember this from high school history, college history? That's correct. 1803. It was during the presidency of Thomas Jefferson that we bought about a third of the United States from France at the bargain price of, I forget what he paid. Was it $12 million or $30 million we paid for it? Pretty reasonable considering how much land it is. It's today's heartland. It's the breadbasket. In any case, we are going to talk about several issues today, and one of them is the voter registration fraud, voter suppression fraud issue. I'm going to walk you through that and explain it, and explain how it's being misrepresented on all kinds of radio and television stations these days. We're going to talk about the various charges that Republicans have made against Barack Obama, from celebrity to anti-American to overconfident to now socialist. He's a socialist. Isn't that clever? He ain't a socialist, and we'll explain why people don't seem to understand what socialism is. Also, the Colin Powell endorsement. The right is doing what they can to blunt the impact of that, including basic racial claims that, oh, of course a black man would vote for a black man. And finally, if we can get to it, coming out of Colin Powell's disagreement with Barack Obama, the difference between this issue of surrendering versus winning versus all the misinformation or misconceptions people have about what's possible in Iraq these days. Anyway, let's start with the voter registration fraud issue. Now, there's three terms here that we have to know about: voter registration fraud, voter fraud, and voter suppression. And the reason we have to know about all those terms is that it is what is being charged currently by people who have worked for Acorn is essentially voter registration fraud. That is, people have turned into Acorn, and Acorn has turned into states voter registration lists, right? They take a clipboard and a list, and they get paid $8 an hour, and they're expected to get 20 registrations an hour, you know, hanging out on city streets or whatever. And they have hired homeless people to do this. They have hired felons who are on at halfway houses or on furlough or whatever the right term is for it. And they've hired all kinds of people to do this. And rather than get 20 legitimate signatures on each sheet, or 20 an hour, I mean, they have made up names like Mickey Mouse or the front four of the Dallas Cowboys and submitted those. Now, in some states, you are required by law to, if somebody collects these signatures, since people think you have registered them, you're required to submit them. So, in some states, Acorn is required to submit any forms they get, even though they know there are bogus names on them, and they even point them out to the state representatives, and they say, we've got three piles. We've got voter registration forms we believe are correct. We know are correct. We've checked them ourselves. We've got a stack that we think you should check, and we got a stack that we know, or we suspect, highly suspect, are bogus, the Mickey Mouse names and the Dallas Cowboys front four names, that kind of thing. Or names copied out of the phone book in alphabetical order, all that stuff. So Acorn may be guilty occasionally of turning in improper forms, but there's not a lot of evidence that Acorn is conspiring to commit wrongdoing here. First of all, they collect, you know, hundreds of thousands of signatures a year and have been doing it for 20, 30, 40 years. And so it doesn't make a lot of sense that they would be engaged in wholesale fraud. It just doesn't make sense. The second thing is that this is being... So Acorn is being painted by the right, and Sean Hannity's been harping on this, beating on this. You know, if he has a three-hour show, he beats on it an hour a day for the last few weeks. Fox News has picked it up. And finally, the McCain campaign picked it up in the third debate last week. John McCain said he conflated the Bill Ayers issue with the Obama, with the Acorn issue, and tried to tie Obama to both. So Obama has only tenuous ties. He knows Bill Ayers. He's worked with him, but he doesn't endorse him, and vice versa. And Bill Ayers certainly isn't going to advise Obama in any way, as Obama made clear in the debate. But McCain said, well, look, I don't care about a washed-up terrorist, Bill Ayers, or his wife, who's also a terrorist, but I do think Senator Obama needs to explain the relationship. Well, wait a minute. If you don't care, why does he need to explain the relationship? So McCain pretends not to care, but of course, this is what his campaign's been reduced to. The only way he can win this thing at this point, his advisors are telling him, obviously, is to get down in the gutter and sling the mud. So that's what he's doing. Then he throws in the Acorn. He said, and we also need to know about his associations with Acorn. And the claims are that his campaign gave Acorn $800,000, or an affiliate of Acorn, $800,000, and that he was a lawyer for them, that I think Dick Morris said he was their chief counsel. So the right has picked up both of those arguments. Obama did try and set the record straight in the debate. He said it in a few words. He didn't go into long explanations. But basically, he was a lawyer that represented Acorn's position once. It was the position of Acorn and several other organizations, including the Justice Department. So he was a lawyer from this company. I don't know if he was doing pro bono work or what it was. And the Justice Department was on the same side. So it hardly makes him consorting with a nefarious organization. Now, the truth is, Acorn is a liberal organization, always has been. It's left of center, tends to favor the Democrats. It tends to be an inner city organization. It tends to be staffed by blacks. And so the right, of course, is against it. And remember about 20%ers, whether they're on the right or the left. One of the definitions of people who are 20%ers out on that far right or far left extreme, they tend to be conspiracy theorists. So when they see something going on the other side, they will substitute a conspiracy before a logical explanation for something. So naturally, Acorn must be up to no good if they're trying to register people that we don't want to vote. And so it's not hard to go from there to a scenario that says they're doing something nefarious. Now, what's interesting is there have been these 12 investigations opened up, 13 investigations opened up in 13 swing states. Well, why is it we're only investigating voter fraud in the swing states? Why is the FBI only investigating voter fraud in the swing states? You would think voter fraud, voter registration fraud would matter in any state. So the Obama campaign has turned around and written to McCasey and said that they would like a special prosecutor, the special prosecutor that's looking into the current Justice Department situation about the nine fired prosecutors who were Republican appointees that were then fired by the Bush administration. They would like piggybacked on that special prosecutor's investigation, an investigation of who put the FBI up to investigating voter fraud. Because the suspicion is that it's the same crowd. And to understand this, we need to back up. We need to distinguish between voter registration fraud, voter fraud, and voter suppression. So, voter fraud is serious. It would be if people try and vote more than once, try and vote in precincts they're not allowed to vote, people who aren't allowed to vote trying to vote, like convicted felons in a state where felons lose the right to, convicted felons lose the right to vote. Voter fraud is minuscule in this country. Karl Rove has been insisting for years it's a serious problem. It's a threat to our democracy. He thinks it's widespread, and he's very concerned about it. But here's the other thing you need to know. Voter registration fraud, to the extent it's happening, is not the same as voter fraud. Just because somebody working for Acorn wrote down Mickey Mouse and gave him an address that's non-existent, and he wrote down the final, the front four of the Dallas Cowboys, and they don't get to vote in Ohio, and he wrote down a bunch of names from the phone book, none of those people are going to show up at that precinct on election day and try and vote. So it's voter registration fraud that is not the same as voter fraud. Even if there are 5 to 10,000 names that are wrong on the voter registration lists that Acorn had turned in out of 85,000 in Ohio, and that's the claim Republicans are making, is that up to 10,000 of them are wrong, which is, you know, it's a hefty percent. It's like 12, 13%, right? That's bad news. That's not good. But there's no evidence any of those people are going to go to the polls and try and vote. And that's what voter fraud is. So all we're talking about is voter registration fraud, a problem to be sure. But in the debate, John McCain actually said that what Acorn is doing currently could lead to undermining the principle of the free vote and undermining our democracy. No, it's not going to do any such thing. Okay, so knowing that that's voter fraud and that's voter registration fraud, when we come back, we're going to talk about voter suppression, which is what has really been the goal of Republicans for many, many elections.
Hi, I'm Andy Finn. You know, even if someone handed me $1 million this morning, I'd still be doing my radio show on WEBR. Why? Because I have commitment. I have dedication. Plus, I signed a contract. Now, if you'll do the same, I'll have one more dedicated listener. Don't worry, you can void your contract if I ever get obsessed with liberals or gays, the flag, the pledge, embryonic stem cells, the UN, illegal immigrants, missing white women, or the country of France. So tune in the Andy Finn Show on WEBR, Mondays at 10 p.m. Hey, if you had $1 million, you could buy a radio station.
How true, how true. You could indeed. We are back on the Andy Finn Show, and today is October 20th, 2008. The election is 2 weeks from tomorrow, and I am loving this because the Sean Hannitys of the world and the Rush Limbaughs and all these people that I listen to keep an eye on them for you, they are just out of their minds. It's just not clear to them how the country could possibly be electing Barack Obama as president. It's their worst nightmare. In any case, October 20th, 2 weeks and 1 day before the election, this is the day that baseball used a baseball with a cork center for the very first time in a World Series game. What year do you think they introduced the cork-centered ball? 1910, just in case you hadn't figured that one out. And it was this date that the U.S. and Great Britain established the boundary between the U.S. and Canada. You know that flat part of the boundary between us and Canada, that little curved straight line that goes mostly from Lake Superior or Michigan westward, most of the way west to the river out west? It's the 49th parallel, and that was established in 1818. And today's the birthday of, we're going back a long ways, folks, Bela Lugosi, 1882, Charles Ives, the painter, I think he's a painter, 1874, and then John Dewey, 1859. Hang down your head, John Dewey. No, that was Tom Dewey by the Kingston Trio. John Dewey was both a philosopher and a psychologist, and had a pretty amazing career. Also a big champion of education, so he was probably a domestic terrorist because, you know, anybody like William Ayers that studies education, you just can't trust him. So let's go back to our disentangling these various terms, voter registration fraud, and voter suppression. So the right has taken the fact that Acorn is involved in some voter registration fraud situations, and basically the voter registration fraud, as near as I can tell, has been perpetrated on Acorn by people they pay. Now, should they be paying people $8 an hour and saying you got to get 20 names an hour? No, or they shouldn't be paying by the name, because you're going to get people write down bogus names just to get paid. So that's a problem. But that's the way they've chosen to do it. They've got money and they're spending it on this. But that's voter registration fraud. And what I'm hearing on TV is I'm hearing some people slip into the terminology of voter fraud. No, voter fraud is when someone tries to vote when they should not. That is, they vote twice or more times. They vote when they're dead, which is a neat trick. Or they vote in a precinct they don't belong, or they're not eligible to vote. There's a third category here, though, and this is why this whole situation is so nefarious and why the left is up in arms over what the right is doing, and why the Obama campaign has asked the Attorney General of the United States, Mukasey, to extend the duties of the current special prosecutor to look into what is currently going on, because there's such a thing as voter suppression. Okay, voter suppression is keeping people from voting. It's pretty well known, and it has been since I was a child, that if turnout is high, it favors the Democrats, and if turnout is low, it favors the Republicans. That's in large part because the Democratic Party's traditional registrants have been poorer, middle class, lower middle class, and where the Republicans have been more upscale, and there's more of them. What happened in the past was the more educated people, the richer people, and by rich I just mean middle class and above, tended to be more likely to vote, be registered and vote. The poor actually don't register that much, particularly the urban poor. I guess rural poor, too. And so, in general, if it rains on election day, the Republicans are happy. And if it's a nice day and people can get to the polls, the Democrats are happy. And this has been going on my whole life, 50 years. Now, voter suppression has taken on a new urgency because part of the Rovian strategy, Karl Rove, Bush's brain strategy in engineering two victories for Bush and working on other campaigns, part of the strategy is you got to get your base out. So you gin up the base, you excite them with rhetoric and culture war issues, and you reduce the turnout for the other side. That's how you win elections, according to Karl Rove. And so voter suppression has been a tool in the Republican arsenal for any number of elections now. How do you suppress votes? Well, there's several ways you can do it. And the Republicans are using most of them, okay? So one of the ways you do it
is you obstruct voter registration drives. The government, the U.S. government, after the Florida recount and the fiasco there, in 2002 passed a bill called the Help America Vote Act. And it has a variety of things in it, but the Help America Vote Act, the idea was to require touch screens and better voting technology because they thought that was the answer. Of course, now most states are going back to paper ballots because we don't trust the touch screens. They have malfunctioned in a number of ways. But there's a variety of other components that allow people to play with the vote. And one of the things they're doing, I'll just use Florida as an example, the Republican-dominated legislature there set up fines of up to $5,000 per violation for groups that took up registration drives but failed to meet the deadlines for turning in the voter application forms. Well, at least one organization, the League of Women Voters, who've been working with registration for decades and decades, and in fact they used to run the debates before the parties decided, you know, we need to control this, we can't have a third party control in our debates. So they stopped doing registration drives in Florida because they can't afford the costs. And many people argue that's exactly what the Republican legislature had in mind, was suppressing voter registration drives. Slow them down. All right. Second thing they're doing under the Help America Vote Act is it allows states to reject registrations that do not correspond to the information in other government databases. So the idea is good in principle. You should know who these people are and their name should match. You know, if you've got a license, the name they register under should be the same. But I have to tell you, this is even a problem for me. I have voted under the name of T. Andrew Finn since I moved to Virginia in 2000. I've been using T. Andrew as my full name for a long time. I don't go by my first name, but I have a first name. So that people don't try and call me Tom or Thomas, I go by T. Andrew. But when I went to get my license, for the first time in about 20 years, the state of Virginia wanted to see my birth certificate, and they insisted on putting Thomas A. Finn on my license, or maybe it reads Thomas Andrew Finn. So that database, that state database of my license and registration, has Thomas Andrew Finn on it. But all my checkbooks, all my credit cards, every other piece of ID I use reads T. Andrew Finn. Now, technically, someone could challenge my right to vote at the polls this year. Actually, I believe that in Fairfax County, they went through and they have updated the database. And I think the last time I voted, it actually reads Thomas Andrew Finn. And now I sign my full name, Thomas Andrew Finn. So that's been handled. But I could end up at the poll after voting for, you know, 40 years in a row or more. Well, anyway, how long have I been voting? Since 68. So 40 years. I could show up at the polls and someone could challenge and say, your name is not the same in voter registration as it is in the state database. We want to kick you out. We don't want you to vote today. And they give me a provisional ballot and maybe they count it and maybe they don't. So that's the issue of demanding perfect matches. Republicans are trying to do that in a number of places. For example, in California, the Republican Secretary of State in 2006 blocked 43% of all the new voters that registered in Los Angeles in the first part of 2006, and primarily because there wasn't a good match, a tight match between the name that the state database had and the registration had. In addition, in Florida, something similar happened. 15,000 new registrants were rejected in 2006 and 2007, and 75% of them were Hispanic and black voters. That is predominantly Democratic voters, and this is a Republican-run state. All right? So we've had a huge registration drive this year. They expect even more people will be tossed off the rolls for these minor discrepancies because the law allows them to do it. And again, we're talking about slightly different street name, a name that's not spelled precisely right, a hyphen in the wrong place of a hyphenated name, an error in the Social Security number, all those things. They want a perfect match. Well, a lot of these errors are clerical errors made by government employees typing in the information.
It's not the voters' fault. But we're seeing a lot of this demanding of perfect matches. The third issue is purging legitimate voters from the voting rolls that currently exist. And what's ironic about this is this whole law, the Help America Vote Act, came about because of the situation in Florida in 2000. And as you may remember, and of course Republicans like to say Democrats just whined about losing that election, but in fact, Democrats took it pretty well. I mean, even though there are any number of people that said, you know, Bush isn't really president or whatever, we got behind the election results once the Supreme Court decided it, the vast majority of Democrats. I dare say, I don't think Republicans would have gotten behind it any better had Gore come out on top. All right? But what's undeniable is that Florida was stolen in this regard, and Republicans conveniently forget this. They just don't, they pretend they don't know about this information. But the prior to the 2000 election, the previous two secretaries of state, including Catherine Harris, who became famous during the election, they tried to purge 57,000 voters, most of them African Americans, because their names resembled those of convicted felons. So if there was a convicted felon named, you know, Jeffrey Ford, and your name was Jeff Ford, they said, well, he's probably the convicted felon. I don't believe they did address matches, and they just purged them from the rolls and figured, well, if they want to vote, they'll re-register. That was done intentionally because they knew that the majority of felons were lower middle income and predominantly, or I mean, a higher percentage of minorities. That was intentional. And the state of Florida eventually acknowledged that the purging of all those names was not proper. But it was after the election when they acknowledged it. So that's what happened in Florida in 2000. And this law is supposed to prevent it. And yet, rather than stop, put an end to these kinds of purges that were done in Florida before the 2000 election, which handed Bush the election. Right? Democrats understand this. Republicans pretend they don't know it. All right. The Help America Vote Act actually allowed any state in the union to go ahead and do these kinds of purges on the notion of protecting the vote. Okay. So states have scrubbed at least 10 million voters from their rolls between 2004 and 2006 on questionable grounds. There have been plenty of other scrubs that were legitimate, but Colorado has the record. A sixth of all their registered voters have been taken off the rolls, again, by a Republican Secretary of State. Okay? Now, the fourth way in which they suppress the vote is requiring voter IDs unnecessarily. Okay? There are several laws have passed, several states have passed laws that say you must have a picture ID, just as an example, a picture ID to vote. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the implication of that for certain populations and why this is a problem. The Andy Finn Show will be right back on WEBR Radio.